Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Sweet cherry wine. Pete Donaldson with you on the Luke and Pete Show. And I've got Luke with me as well, which is useful in many circumstances when it comes to the Luke and Pete Show.
Yes. And what better way to celebrate Boxing Day in Christmas week by reading a story about a driver who blew up his car by using excessive air freshener?
Okay. There was spray, spray, spray for lay, lay, lay.
Exactly. No Armani, no Punani.
Yeah.
He sprayed a load of air freshener in his car excessively, according to firefighters, and then lit up a sweet cigarette.
Well, look, I mean, you've got a propellant that's obviously going to ignite. You've got a fair whack of oxygen because presumably the air conditioner is coming in as well. You've got a literal magic tree in there, you'd imagine. So you've got wood. You've got the combustible there as well. So
here's what I don't get.
It's a perfect storm, Luke.
It is. Here's what I don't get about the story. According to the BBC, it was so powerful, the explosion, it caused damage to windows at nearby businesses.
Oh.
Yet, the driver, the motorist, escaped with only minor injuries. It blew out the windscreen, the windows, and buckled the doors, but the man escaped with minor injuries. I mean, that to me seems like those two things can't be compatible.
What do you mean? Like, as in?
We should have been really badly hurt, presumably.
Well, I guess the explosion that would break the glass would presumably go outwards rather than inwards. So he's not getting hit with any glass, is he? There's no head injuries. So everything else is just flames, isn't it?
Yeah.
So he probably got a bit singed. Probably feels a little bit stupid.
You must have created an explosion or two in your time.
No, I was never a fire boy. I remember there was a lad who used to get Lynx deodorant spray on his hand and then set fire to it.
Yeah, people used to do that at my school as well.
I mean, in retrospect, that looks pretty cool.
That's a cool thing.
Pretty cool, guys.
There was also a very, very slow news day story on the BBC website a week or so ago, maybe a couple of weeks ago, which was Devon couple's 48-year-old boiler finally packs up. And this guy called Graham Braddock, he's not obviously an old fella. I think he's in his late 80s. He happily and comically posed holding a handkerchief to his eyes, pretending to cry because he said the boiler, he was told in 1971 the boiler came with a 50-year guarantee.
Wonderful.
Fantastic stuff.
How old was the boiler?
48 years old.
Well, so it's in so surely you can get a replacement for the same model, or the company doesn't see. That's a problem. You get all excited about your guarantees and your insurance and stuff. Like, there's no insurance if the company goes down. So,
yeah, I know.
Stop being foolish, guys.
What would you think? I mean, presuming you've got to Christmas in Hartlepool, which is my favourite Christmas song actually, on time. What do you reckon you're doing now at this point on Boxing Day?
I'll probably have to make it back to London at some point. So I'll probably just prepping the suitcase.
Doomsday
for that,
prepping.
Really. Doomsday prepping.
Do you have a lot of leftovers on Boxing Day? Do you eat a lot of leftovers?
No, because my mum staggers all of the goodies coming down from the bedroom. She has like a load of popcorn and nuts and chocolate and stuff like that. And then she'll sort of stagger its arrival, which is just annoying. It's like, just get it eaten.
Do the parents' house they live in at the moment, is the house you grew up in?
No.
Oh, they've moved. No, my parents
moved,
are the same.
They moved like three or four times.
Oh, really?
So okay. No, but I will be staying in a single bed.
Any social functions to be partaking in?
Yeah, I'll probably be getting pissed on Boxing Day.
Where are you going to go?
Probably go out of town. Just make it with a guy called Barber and Tomo.
What are the night spots up in Hartlepool?
Oh, everything ranging from the studio, a live music venue, to the Causeway, a terrible pub, and King John's, and also a terrible pub. There's now a Pop World in Hartlepool, which is very upward trendy for me.
How much is it for a pint in Hartlepool?
It depends. You can get them as cheap as $1.99.
Can you?
Yeah, but they're bad beers. Bad beers in King John's.
Fizzy lagers,
yeah.
You love a bit of that?
I do love a bit of fizzy lager, yeah. The drinks are considerably cheaper up north. It's incredible.
Yeah,
it's
sounds
wonderful.
Like it. You won't take your old man out for a pint?
Well, he insists on going out at like 11 o'clock in the morning. Too early.
And will he? Will you take him to that old rundown Art Deco cinema?
Get over the wall.
Do a bit of exploring.
Yeah. I saw on the internet these little kind of braces you put on your knees. They've got little hinges on them, and presumably they're either pneumatic or they're spring-loaded. I think my dad would probably enjoy using those because he's got a trip knee and he carries a stick with him. I'm thinking maybe I should get him some of those.
That'd be good.
He would look ridiculous. He'd look like something from not Cyberdyne Industries or what are those ones that are doing those little dogs that they kick? Out in America. They're always in
Boston
the forest.
Mechanics.
Boston Dynamics.
That's it, Boston Dynamics.
Boston Dynamics. It looked like something like that.
You know when Boston Dynamics did that kind of vaguely terrifying dog thing?
Yeah.
They did it running through a forest, didn't they?
Yeah.
Which makes it more sinister. Do you think they've done that on purpose? Because if it was just running through a lab, you'd be like, all right, yeah.
Yeah, well, I presume they started on that, but like presumably the whole charm of the little doggy is that it can deal with any kind of terrain.
I think your old man would be delighted to get something from Boston Dynamics for Christmas. I mean, they must be quite expensive. I think they're pretty close to bringing a robot to market, aren't they? But it's nowhere near as impressive as people think. You got that sort of humanoid one that jumps up on the thing and jumps off. That's like,
I don't know why.
Like that.
I don't know why Chinese or Japanese or even Korean or even Taiwanese companies aren't jumping on them and going, look, we've got a shitty robot. Let's franchise out your name, get a bit of bunce. Who doesn't want a Boston Dynamics product in their stocking?
What,
so to speak? I bought my dad a gaming chair as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because his chair because it was on offer on Amazon.
This is amazing.
And his chair was rescued from his place of work, and it's just a dirty little office chair. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to buy my dad a nice, comfortable chair. I think he's going to get a buzz out of it. He can't get it upstairs at the moment because it's massive, and he's, as I said, he's got a dodgy knee. So I'll have to take it up in the Christmas period. But I think it's going to be a breath of fresh air for him. Bless him.
How much did you shell out on that?
It was only like 100 quid, I think. Like gaming chair wise, that's pretty budget.
So he can send his Photoshops to you in comfort.
Yeah, exactly.
That's lovely. Right. Yeah. Those Boston Dynamics robots always just remind me of that really, the bleakest of bleak Black Mirror episodes with those like kind of AI dogs are chasing those people in black and white. Like, they're just relentless. Mm. It's just such a tough watch.
Teehee.
It's a really tough watch. I've actually got my by the time this comes out, they'll already know, so I can actually say this. I've actually got my family tickets to go see Hamilton for Christmas.
Oh, cool.
They're excited for that.
So whereabouts is the Hamilton? Is it Victoria?
Yeah.
Right.
It's opposite Victoria Station, so that'd be good. It's brilliant. I bloody enjoyed it. They all really enjoy it as well, so that's good. I saw a really interesting story as well last week. Vera Lynn. You remember, you know Dame Vera Lynn?
Yeah, still with us.
102. She is.
Bloody hell.
102.
She released an album last year, didn't she?
Did she?
Yeah.
No.
Bunts.
Just a re-recording of, just a re-releasing of old songs, presumably.
Presumably.
You're not getting her in the studio, surely.
Well, I don't know. I imagine her voice is awful right now.
She'll be 103 in March.
That's
right?
Incredible.
Which is amazing. So anyway, Vera Lynn is, Vera Lynn apparently in Cockney rhyming slang is gin.
Oh, gin, right.
And I think apparently in like newer slang, it's skin, as in...
Ooh.
And no, as in to like a skin for your joint.
Right,
kind of
okay.
Thing. And...
Where do those two circles meet? People who are into bifters and people who talk about Vera Lynn.
Don't know. Not sure what the Venn diagram looks like there. Anyway, it's a company called Halewood International, which make Krabby's ginger beer. You know Krabby's ginger beer? They also make a couple of whiskies and stuff. They've just been told to cease and desist and pay Vera Lynn's £1,800 costs after they tried to trademark Vera Lynn as a brand of gin. And Vera Lynn, despite all of her 102 years, said, "I've been using my name as an unregistered trademark for music and charity work since 1939, if you don't mind."
Mm.
You're not doing it.
Get out.
Yeah.
But also, I would say that she's probably not that asked about it.
Well, I mean, the drinks firm lawyer said that there would be no confusion. Like, there would be no crossover. People wouldn't matter. And he said it's a language, you know, it's a play on words and a bit of fun, you know. Think of Ruby Murray for a curry.
It's just a bit of fun. Who was Ruby Murray?
I don't know, actually.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but that's obviously a well-known one, isn't it?
Mm.
My mates always used to say cuzza when we were kids. They didn't say, like, Ruby
cuzza.
Murray.
Yeah. Some cuzza.
Apparently, Ruby Murray was a Northern Irish singer and actress.
They're all having it.
That's right.
They're all having it. Did you know that Amazon, obviously this time of year, Amazon's very, very busy delivering package and the like, although I did buy a candle last week and it came smashed up.
Oh, really?
Absolutely smashed
That's
up.
That's not what you want.
To pieces.
Would you be interested in boycotting Amazon for that reason? I mean, you're on record as saying you're perfectly fine with their tax practices.
But... Yeah, so I think they provide such an excellent service. They shouldn't sell. They shouldn't pay any corporation tax because they are the community.
Yeah.
Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
Did you know that if Amazon's algorithms are so good and so on it, and I realise... just dipping your toe into their practices is fascinating and frequently fucking awfully scary.
Would Jeff like you to hear you say this or not? Would Jeff be endorsing
I'm sure
of this message?
Fine.
Right.
But he, they, if you buy FIFA every year, which I do,
yeah,
they deliver a specific copy of FIFA to your local, what do you call it? Like their little kind of like delivery depot kind of center. They deliver a copy that is earmarked for you. So they know that you're going to buy it again.
That's scary.
Because you buy a lot of it.
So I think Donaldson's going to buy that.
Donny's going to buy that again. So, or if you really like a book, a particular writer, they stick it in there because they think that they...
Well, and then they'll just bombard you with marketing to get you to buy it.
Well, not really. I think they probably will as a matter of course anyway. But the idea, I mean, I'm fine with that. I'm not fine with that. It's rubbish. But I just find it fascinating that there is a copy that they have pre-selected for you. They've sent it to the depot knowing full well that you're going to do it again every single year.
When did you find this out?
A couple of months ago, but I just completely forgot about it. I wrote a note to myself and go, that's fascinating.
But are you the kind of person that I think, presumably, you are the kind of person that will now refuse to buy it? Buy it from someone else? Buy it from someone else?
No. I'm very movable with stuff like that.
I had a bit of a rude awakening did some Christmas shopping a couple of weeks ago. I went to Hatchard's on Piccadilly, which is this beautiful bookstore.
Hatchard.
To buy some presents for people. And I told myself, I don't know, I mean, maybe everyone knows this and I just didn't know it, but I told myself that, I'll go into Hatchard's, one, because it's a beautiful shop, and two, because it's independent.
Mm.
And it's got a thing on it that says bookseller since 17, whatever. Mm. And there's a Waterstones like five doors down. So you think, right, okay, I'm going to go to the independent one. And so I went there and I've been doing that for years. And I went in there a couple of weeks ago and they now offer a wrapping service. Well, I'll take advantage of that. Mm. Put your books over there, they'll wrap it for free. It's amazing. It's a great little Christmas bonus and they can wrap it in a beautiful way and stuff. And obviously there's time to kill while they're wrapping your thing for you. And it's just this lady wrapping it. So I started talking to her. And she went, "Oh, how are you getting on with your Christmas shopping?" I was like, yeah, not bad. I love coming to the shop because it's really beautifully decorated and it looks amazing. It's like a really Christmassy scene in there. And I said, oh yeah, and also because it's independent. And she went, yeah, actually owned by the same company that owns Waterstone. So I thought, it's nothing sacred anymore. Like, I might as well stay at home. Clicked the tick box on Amazon, said the gift wrap feature,
yeah,
and got them sent to my house.
Exactly.
I had to carry them all the way home. That was the day, I told you about it earlier in the week, that was the day where the trains were up the spout as well. So I had to carry it all the way home. I'm not even getting the warm feeling in my stomach and my heart that I'm supporting an independent bookseller.
You're so naive, you're so...
And then,
the kooks there.
The kooks. And then I thought to myself... Have I been naive because it's not realistic that in 2019, almost 2020 now, that an independent bookseller would be able to sustain a shop of that size on Piccadilly?
No, especially with the rents nowadays.
That's what I mean.
And nobody really owns those places. So yeah, I guess all of those, most of the shops will be like that.
Right. So at least they pay their tax though, presumably. I haven't checked, but
they'll probably be on the same hustle as everyone else.
Probably do. Let's take a little break, and then when we come back, we'll do some emails from our lovely listeners who are sitting there, stuffed full of food and drink, on Boxing Day.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The problem appears to be that we haven't got our photo ID to try and travel to Scotland, which, as far as I can remember, was in the British Isles. What can we do? We're utterly hamstrung by these thick-headed people wearing orange suits.
Suck it, Plummy. Suck it.
Yeah. Oh, what's that? You've had life's hard for you, is it, pal?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Fuck your ideas up, mate.
He's presumably happy with the most recent election result.
You can bet your bottom dollar.
And if you're listening, sir, email us hello@lukeandpeachshow.com and tell us some of your objectionable opinions. Some people who've got in touch are, who we got here? Dino, Alex, Alan. I sound like I'm making them all up, but
Alan.
I'm not. All my emails today are based around the gladiators.
All right, do you want this one?
Do you do yours first.
Give it a layer buffer.
Yeah, yeah.
Hello to William Peters. Hi, guys. This comes from last year's Christmas do at my mother's house. As we all know, roasties and mash are the cornerstone of any Christmas Day meal. My mother decided to spice it up, though, by making sweet potato mash instead of normal mash.
Well, hang on. I've got a problem straight away.
What?
Roast potatoes and mash on a Christmas meal?
Apparently so.
I've never heard that before. Have you?
Well, it's nice to have a choice, I guess.
Have you heard that before?
No, but I imagine bigger families might have a bit more choice.
But would you say it's a cornerstone of the roast dinner?
Well, I think as either or, it's the cornerstone of a roast dinner. But the idea of her spicing up to make sweet potato mash instead of normal mash is a abhorrent in my book, to be quite frank. We all thought nothing of it, but the scenes that followed brought us crashing into reality. My great uncle is in his 70s. He's a bit of a character, but a nice chap. He was absolutely livid. I swear, I've never seen him so angry. He declared that Christmas dinners were sacred and couldn't be changed, and was so distraught over his food change that he had to leave the dinner and then said he was going home.
I admire the reaction.
His wife apologised profusely to my mother, but the damage couldn't be repaired and they departed. The weirdest scenes that have happened in the annual tradition, which are normally pleasant, the rest of the dinner, though, was great. Yeah. I'm worried for this Christmas, though, because my mother asked me to buy sweet potatoes and I know he's coming again. Let's hope the same event doesn't repeat.
I can't believe
he's been invited again.
That is worrying. I love sweet potato mash, but yeah, with a Christmas dinner, it's probably... kind of pissing all over the tradition there. I remember once getting turned away from... We always used to go to my nan and granddad's house for Christmas lunch. And so we'd do stuff in the morning, then we'd go around there. And I remember being turned away from the house by my nan, who was Scottish and fierce, because although I'd bought her a present... Mm. This is like in my university days. Where I'd
wrapped it. Idiot.
No, I hadn't bought her a card.
Yeah, cards were a big thing.
My nan said, I'd rather
the card than the present.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Get yourself down the shop and buy me one, or find me a card, or you're not coming in. Mm. And I was like, well, what am I going to do? It's Christmas Day. She's like, I don't care. So I had to go walking. I had to walk about 15 minutes down the road, found a little convenience like shop that was open, find like a 99p card and write it to her and give it to her.
Yeah, that story wouldn't be out in Hartlepool. Nothing's open. Nothing's open.
On Christmas Day?
Yeah,
do you know what? I'm going to name check the shop, I think it was. It's sadly no longer with us. All days.
All days.
I think it was an all day.
Every day.
Living up to its name.
Lovely.
Let us know. I forget the name of the email, but let us know what happens with that, because that sounds like it could be explosive. Doesn't it?
It does sound.
Imagine if his mum properly trolls his great uncle and says, do you mind putting together a sweet potato mash for me today? That'd be brilliant. Okay, here we go. This is an email from Dino. It's about the gladiators. We've been working our way through different gladiatorial stories. This is the TV show Gladiators from the 90s, not the Roman impressive athletes. Although they are impressive athletes in their own right, the 90s TV ones. Dino says, afternoon, fellas. After your call for stories about gladiators, I thought I'd email in. Writing this email is a lot easier than rummaging in my loft to find my copy of Wu-Tang Clan Taste the Pain and my limited edition Wu-Tang W-shaped PS1 controller after you mentioned it on the pod a while back. So I'll stick to gladiators. When I was in year 6 and fearful of getting my head kicked in when I went to secondary school due to my complete lack of interest in football, I decided to take up playing football in my hometown of Didcot, which is statistically the most normal place in the UK. There are two kids' teams to play for. Didcot Boys, who all the cool kids played for, the undoubted main team in Didcot, and Didcot Gladiators, which can best be described as a ragtag bunch of outsiders and the manager's son, who is probably the best footballer of his age in the town. And we got our asses handed to us every single week. If you're listening from Didcot, let us know if you've got any stories about Didcot Boys or Didcot Gladiators. During the pre-season, just before I signed for the Didcot Gladiators, someone managed to pull some strings and roped Shadow in as a club ambassador.
Hello.
He came to a training session where all the boys and their parents met and had photos. The local paper came down for what I assume was a front page news story. Fast forward 6 months or so, and I'm halfway through my first season of playing football. And we've just started back at school after the Christmas break, and there was talk of Shadow coming back down to see us again, and we were all very excited. Within a week or so, there was a rumour circulating in the playground Shadow had been sacked from Gladiators for things that I can't mention on this show. The rumour was shortly disproved, and he'd actually been sacked for a rather minor comparison of testing positive for steroids, although it was alleged that he was caught up in doing some other stuff. Obviously, our meeting with our club ambassador was knocked on the head, and I assume he was dealt the double blow of being sacked from his prestigious role as ambassador of our football club. And I have vivid memories of all my teammates being taken out of their respective primary schools just after lunchtime, where the local ITV news team had been sent to interview this group of crestfallen children about our disappointment at one of our heroes being sacked for doing something so shameful. Needless to say, I was nowhere near the cameras, as I didn't care that much, partly because he wasn't my favourite gladiator, that was Jet. And if anyone claims that their favourite was anyone but Jet, they are a liar. Mainly because I got an extended lunch break where I could play football with my actual friends and not the Didcot Boys players who were in abundance at my school. Well, my friends were being questioned one by one. I'm pretty sure I can be seen in the background putting the goals away. Literally packing them up and putting them away, mind, not putting them away to show off my goal-scoring prowess. He said he can't find any evidence of this happening. Love the show. Keep up the good work. He said, I will go off and rummage in the loft my Wu-Tang controller now. There we go. Peace, Dino. Thanks for that, Dino. It's a good gladiator story. because I think I'll be I would have been bloody excited if I was a kid and my team was ambassador was a gladiator.
Yeah, I mean that's big potatoes, isn't it? I'm just looking at the gladiators. There's a lot of you can get a lot of them to do little personal messages on on those like cameo kind of websites.
A lot of them are doing that now. A lot of celebrities are doing that now. Who's on there?
Jet, I think. Who's the good-looking fella who drove with his top down in his car?
Oh, was that Hunter?
Hunter's doing it.
That's courtesy of my mate Tommy. Who said that? I know that's true.
So I'm just reading Jet from Gladiators Twitter page. Oh, she's. She's retweeted Chris Ramsey, obviously a northeastern comedian, and Justin Lee Collins.
She is a fan of long walks, exercising, and is a keen surfer.
Cool.
Here's another email from Alex from Barnstable, who's met a gladiator as well. He says, "I'm writing in for the first time, following you putting out the call to those of us lucky enough to meet a gladiator. None other than Rhino came to visit my taekwondo class back in the late 90s." I was around 8 or 9 at the time, and I can't really remember much about it, other than us all lining up in our robes to each get a picture taken with the big man. And until quite recently, I had a signed Polaroid picture of me and Rhino as proof that this wasn't some kind of fever dream, although it's nowhere to be found after a clear out, and the doubts are starting to creep back in. But I'm pretty sure I met him. All the best, Alex from Barnstable.
Was there ever any like UK gladiators going over to do some wrestling in the WWE?
You would know, mate. Ask Mark Haynes.
I might ask Mark Haynes.
He would know about that, wouldn't he? And I've got a final email about gladiators here. I opened the can of worms here. I've just got to get through them.
Yeah,
mate,
let's just get them through.
People listening, I apologise if you've got no interest in gladiators, but I did make a promise that I'm happy to keep. This is from Alan. Hi, guys. I was going to keep this to myself, but your desire to have met the entire cast of Gladiators via the listenership persuaded me to share. At the time of writing, you haven't had an anecdote concerning Zodiac. Well, I once sat on her lap. It is perhaps a bit more innocent than it sounds. When I was very young, Kate Staples, aka Zodiac, came around my primary school and patiently met every student. When it was my turn, I popped onto her lap and we had our photo taken. I didn't get a chance to congratulate her on her sterling pole vault career, not least because I was 7 and I had no idea. The photo has since been lost to the sands of time, sadly. Mm. It's a shame it wasn't Jet, but presumably she was too busy hosting a Millennium Barn Dance at Yeovil Aerodrome. That's a Partridge reference. Still, it's nice to get Zodiac ticked off the list. Keep up the great work. Love the pods. Alan. Now, I'm not clever enough, and Pete certainly isn't admin savvy enough for us to know all the gladiators we've ticked off.
No.
So perhaps someone could email in hello@lukeandpeacher.com to tell us all the gladiators we've met.
We'll make a chart.
We should, because I think we've done quite a lot of them now. Mm. I remember going to see American Gladiators as a kid when I went on holiday to Florida with my parents. They used to do like a dinner show.
Yeah.
Like a gladiators version of the medieval dinner show in The Cable Guy.
Right.
Have you seen that?
I mean, you mentioned The Cable Guy. I mean, this is so down a rabbit hole. People, half the people won't know who any of these gladiators are, especially in the US. And now you're talking about The Cable Guy, which nobody watched.
I think it was a good movie, The Cable Guy.
It was Jim Carrey's dramatic debut slightly, wasn't it?
No, he was
quite a dark character, though, wasn't he? He wasn't like a...
It's like a dark comedy. It's like a black comedy. Yeah, it's not like Truman Show dramatic, right. But it's not Ace Ventura. It's kind of maybe it's the gateway drug to his more dramatic roles. But I think it's good, and there's a good medieval scene in it. Anyway, who else is in The Cable Guy? I think there's two other quite famous people in it. You fill in while I check. Hang on.
How would you like me to fill in? This is the Luke and Pete Show. I'm Pete Donaldson.
Jack Black is in it.
Jack Black is in it.
And Matthew Broderick is in it.
Matthew Broderick is in it. Two big stars.
Ben Stiller.
You can still find him. What do they play? Cable customers.
I mean, Ben Stiller plays like the kind of straight... Oh, is it Matthew Broderick plays the straight kind of customer of Jim Carrey's mad, manic cable guy?
Mm. I always fancy Cable Guy, but I never got around to watching it.
It's good.
And I'm not about to, because I've got a lot of Office US to get through for the third time.
Terrible business. All right, Pete, that's probably the culmination of our Boxing Day show. I hope you enjoy the rest of your Christmas and festive period. We will be back on Monday, of course, as we always are. Thank you so much for those of you who got in touch. If you could send us in an admin list of all the gladiators we met on the show, that would be helpful. hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. Godspeed. Love you all. Thanks for all your support in 2019. And we'll see you again soon.
Was a Stakhanov production. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.